Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in His presence and the Spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm rising up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust Him in me, but when things get worse, my hope in You, my strength is in You. I don't know a little more about You. How the world changed and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls trying to save yours, but who will teach them when the older ones won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. When I'm down in my spirit and the need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the Spirit, so I'm a spirit for man, and if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of this body, man, it's tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is You, my strength is You. I want to know a little more about You. As the world changes and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boy, young girl, trying to save joy. But who will teach them when the whole world won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by You. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a messy world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't even know the preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, hope is in You. My friend is in You. But teach me how to know a little more. I humble myself before you. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh my hope is in You. My strength is in You. Teach me how to know a little more about You. Jesus, I humble myself before You. Yes, I humble myself before You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You.
Well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host once again, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to be bringing forth a powerful teaching. And the title of that teaching tonight is Only All is All. So, as always, I encourage each and every listener out there to go ahead and grab a pen and piece of paper, get ready to take down some notes as we get ready to go forth Mike's teaching, Only All is All. That's just you have the mic.
Amen. Well, again, thank you, Brother Mike, and we'll just get started and pray and get into the Word for today. Father, I ask You to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by Your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of Your Word, Your Spirit, and Your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that You can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living Word. the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, it was a conversation that I was involved in, and I said the phrase, all is all. Then I asked questions about what does all mean to you? It is that big things come in small packages. And this is readily seen in our words. Words paint a picture while they convey and contain understanding. Words can expand or constrict any meaning. Words can produce liberty or they can cause bondage. Depending on the comprehension and the intent of the one reading or speaking. The more time we spend communicating with the one that initiated the conversation, the more understanding we will get about that conversation and that person. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It's a very familiar passage of scripture that we know. And he said, I will start at verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A couple of things I want you to see and hear is that Jesus said that the way to be disciplined or disciple of his, that's what the word disciple means. It means disciplined by. I find that most of the time, people don't want to be disciples. They just want to be hanging around in the mix, if you would. You know, Jesus didn't tell us to go make friends. He told us to go make disciples. He didn't tell us to go make associates. He told us to go make disciples. People that are of the mindset that I want to hear from and do what Jesus wants me to do. Notice he said in verse 31, to the ones that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples in what you do indeed. That indeed there was not just yes, yes, it was in what you do. I would love to be known as one that was disciplined by Jesus in what I did, that people could do the same thing that they did with Peter and John. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that they had said about them, they were ignorant and unlearned men, and yet they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh man, what a testimony. To know that the fellowship that he called me into is fulfilled in the sight of others, that they could see and know I have been with Jesus. There's nothing better that I can see to have happen in my life. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples in what you do. And because you do those two things, because you believe on him, continue in his word, become disciplined by him in everything that I do, he said, that causes this to happen. Now you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth that you are intimate with. Because I want to kind of deal with how the little things that sometimes we don't pay attention to are the things that stop the flow of God in our lives. Listen at that little word, if you continue. That's a little word. But that little word has the ability to release liberty or bondage. Because if I do not, that little word is going to cause me to be in bondage. And if I'm happy in my deception, or if I'm not willing to receive deeper and more intimate revelations and intimate intentions, because I just said that if you talk to the person that initiated the conversation, you will then know more about that person. You will become intimate with that person. You know who you know? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, if I'm intimate with him, if I know him, that's what that word know is right there. It is a word from intimacy's position. It's not just I'm hanging around. No. I am becoming intimate with him. There are secrets that he tells me, and that means that there are secrets that I'm looking for. Okay? I just don't come around, hang around, and go home. I want to know him. I want to know the how and the why. And he wants to teach me. He said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. He said, call unto me, and he will show me great and mighty things that I don't know. So he wants me to know. He wants me to be intimate with him. Because if I'm intimate, then the truth that he is talking to me about, okay, he'll tell you something from his word. Because the Bible says he speaks to us today by his son or by his word. And then we'll hear the word but didn't understand the timing of the word, the intent of the word from God's perspective. And that there has to be an intent from God's perspective, beloved. I can't just go, this is not rub-a-dub-dub. A genie in a bottle thing. I see something, I want it, I say I got it. I confess and no, it has to be relationship based, beloved. This is not just name it and claim it and frame it. This is I see it and I continue to talk to God about it. Jesus just told me, if I believe, then this is what I should do. I should continue in the word and let the word discipline me. And when I do that, I will become intimate with truth, and then the truth causes me to be free. I will no longer be one standing on the outside hoping and wishing. I will be one that functions from the inside, executing the thing he wants me to do. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says a very interesting scripture that I've been looking at differently. And, beloved, I'm just continuing in the word. I'm asking you. Jesus is asking you right here in this verse to continue in it, to abide in it, to live in it, okay? In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it asks this question. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And I've always used that for unity and causing the team that I'm on to want to work together. But I didn't hear what he said till recently. Notice he said that there can be no motion without agreement. There could be, and has been a lot of times in my life, fellowship, if you would. I'm just hanging out with God, but I didn't want to know what he was thinking about that. See, if I don't know what he's thinking, his perspective, and then agree with his thoughts, Isaiah 55 tells us that our thoughts and his thoughts are completely different. So as far as the heaven, okay, y'all, it's a big difference between what God thinks and what I think, what God wants and what I want. See, and I have to become so intimate with what he wants that it becomes what I want. Or we can do it the way it is in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the word dwelt among us, and the word became flesh. It became tangible. It became the thing that I hold on to. It becomes the thing I'm discipled by. So when I agree with him, now I can have motion. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. We will not go in the same direction. Beloved, I became weary of walking contrary to God, walking after my own lust. Okay? Because you know the book of James tells us, chapter 1, that lust brings death. Lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Okay? So if I'm walking in lust, lust, when it is conceived, is going to cause separation, sin. Okay? It's going to cause me, again, I say this all the time, a better definition of sin is not based on my action. It is to be without a portion, to be without what God says I should have. I don't become intimate with what he says. I only become intimate with what I want, so that I go in a different direction, because my lust will produce sin, and sin will produce death. Please see how that works. If I'm not walking with him, if I'm walking contrary to him because I didn't agree with him, and that agreement, beloved, can be in the way he's doing it. Sometimes we love God, but we don't love his process. We understand God, but we don't understand his process. I mean, that's just the way that it is. See, because we won't do what the Bible teaches us to do, die to ourselves. That's why in my prayer, I always pray that I would decrease so that he could increase. Glory to God. That was a prayer that we heard John the Baptist pray. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. Why? Because the will of God can only be done through submission, beloved. It cannot be done. You can write this down. The will of God will not be executed through manipulation, through control. Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Oh, goodness. It doesn't come because I figured it out. Okay? He said, if I continue in the word, then I'll be disciplined by that word, and my actions will prove that that word has been alive on the inside of me, changing me, affecting me. I'll say these things. If God can't do anything in you, he can't do anything for you, and he won't do anything through you. If he's not doing something in you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ through you, the hope of glory. Not Christ used by you, it is Christ in you. If you continue in the word, then are you disciplined by that word in what you do? People should see a difference in you. Amen. We are not just trying to live in what has been called sloppy agape. It has to be intentional. We are supposed to bring a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. a sacrifice that's holy and acceptable, while we are not conformed to this world, but while we are transformed by the renewing of the way we approach a thing, the way we think. That's Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. So people should see that in our life. You know, it's time out for the testimony that we have being challenged, because the thing God wants is not what we want. We want to prove to people that God is alive. And I can understand that. I'm not mad. I can appreciate that. But the best way, Jesus said, that you would prove that you are his disciples is that you would have love. It didn't say that you would have lust. And lust is not sexual. Lust is trying to get my own way. I'm not agreeing with God, then there can be no motion from God in my life. Two cannot walk together except first we have agreement. Agreement is not the end all. Agreement is the beginning. Okay, did you get that, beloved? See, sometimes we'll say, well, they agree. Now we can get things done. Or you'll see stuff. No, 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 no. If the agreement has not been hashed out, there can be no motion. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? So then I would just submit to you right quick. You want to get things moving in your life. You want to get into the flow of God. The best way that you can see that happening is to agree with him. He's right. You're not. He's perfect and holy. You're not. I can understand that you want what you want because of frustrations, because of fatigue. I can understand that, beloved. But the best thing we can do is agree with him. Okay? So I'm trying to get you to understand that if I continue in the word, And when we say that again, this is just one conversation, beloved. You don't just continue. I'm not doing shotgun, okay? I'm not trying to do shotgun. I'm trying to bring, Jesus said, Paul told us this is what we should do, that we're supposed to bring every thought into captivity until that thought obeys Christ. Okay, now, see, this is one conversation at a time. I don't want you to go and ask God for something and then, you know, okay, he's not talking to me. Yes, he is, beloved. He's trying to get you to change your thought process so that agreement happens, so that the motion that you're looking for can be executed. The two cannot walk together except we have agreement. Motion doesn't happen without agreement. If you continue, if you believe on him, continue in the word, then let the word disciple you, and you will become intimate with the truth, and the truth will make you free. Again, the word if is one of those little mini things that have big stuff in it. God leaves the harvest size up to you. If you want little, you can survive on little. You remember what he told Peter? He asked Peter, talked to the disciples and asked them this question: how is it that you have little faith? How is it that you have no faith? They were living, they were existing on little faith. Okay? Just so that you get that. You can live in the little if you want to. I'm not mad at you. God won't be mad at you. Okay? All that means is if you choose to live in the little, in whatever area that is, beloved, if you choose to live in little forgiveness, you can do that. But little forgiveness does not make you a disciple, because he says that if you are a disciple, you will love, and love covers a multitude of sins.
So forgiveness is automatic. So then trying to live in a they hurt me world, that you're going to live in little, beloved. Okay? You need to forgive quickly while the adversary is with you in the way. I just love that scripture. He didn't say wait till you get to the house to forgive. He says forgive while he's with while you're with him in the way. Amen. I mean, that's the example Jesus left us. While they were piercing his side, hanging him on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not they don't know what they did. That was an active prayer. Forgiveness is active, beloved. So you can live in little if you want to. If you want to practice little forgiveness, little mercy, okay, I'll just give it to you that way. You know, if you have little mercy, expect little mercy. To the merciful, he will show himself merciful. So that if I'm not willing to show mercy, then he cannot. Okay, Jesus said it, it's in red in your Bible, Mark chapter 11. If you do not forgive those who have hurt you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And he attached that to your faith. He attached that to your faith right after he said, have the faith of God. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. He says, and as you stand praying, forgive if you have already good things. See, again, look at this. You're trying to get faith to work in a situation, and he just gave you the word on that situation. Two cannot have motion unless agreement happens. So you're going to have to say, Father, I'm going to release them. I'm not going to harbor this thing. I'm not going to take it against their account. See? You want breakthroughs in your life. You want to come out of the oppression of the enemy. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, then, beloved, I would submit to you. Become intimate with truth and let the truth make you free. You know, there's a little lawyer inside of our head, and we hear, but they did and but they said conversations. Let me just help you out. That's not God having that conversation with you. God has this information that he gives us. There is therefore now no condemnation. So God does not bring condemnation to cause your stance to be upheld. I can't let them go because they did that. No, God does not bring condemnation to uphold your stance. Okay? I just want you to get that. God wants you to forgive and do it quickly. Do it wholeheartedly. Don't have to forgive. Again, the amount of harvest is up to you, beloved. If you want to live in little, you can. If you want to practice a little forgiveness, then you can live in the little. Okay? Don't blame destinies when things don't work. The way to get to the place of abundance is to allow the word first place. Don't argue with the word. The word says forgive every time, all the time. 70 times 7 a day for the same thing. Forgive quickly. Forgiveness is not for the other person, beloved. Forgiveness is for you because the movement that you're looking for, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So without agreement, there is no motion. You are standing still. You are dying because your supply is not present. You have cut off the flow. Okay? I just want you to get this. These are foundational things here. Okay? If you want to live in the abundance, and Jesus said, I am come. The thief only comes, John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal, kill, destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you may have that life more abundantly. Then he began to teach you how to have that abundant life. Because the disciples asked that question in Luke chapter 5, 17 verse 5, They asked and said, well, how are we going to forgive? Oh, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, no, we don't need to have more faith. I'm giving you the faith for that. What you need to do is use the faith. So that if you don't know how to, let's say it these ways, if you don't know how to use the faith, continue to hear faith on forgiving. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you keep letting faith come. And as faith comes, it will remove the stuff that was causing insubordination in your heart. You will see that, you know what, I have to release them because I need to agree with God so I can get past this. Come on now. That's what everybody wants to do. They say, we'll just get past it. You can't get past it without agreement of the Father. You need to agree with the Father that I'm going to no longer count this against them. Love does not take an account of a wrong. Love believes all things. Just go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. Just read how you should operate in love, how you should let this truth discipline you so that you can become intimate with that truth. And as you are intimate with that truth, now we can have motion. I'm trying to get you to the promised land. I'm trying to get you to victory, beloved. And you can have a little, or you can have a lot. Okay? So I just want you to kind of see that so that you can understand that if I'm going to walk this out, I'm going to have to be honest here. I'm going to have to let the word that is truth sanctify them through that truth. Thy word is truth. I'm going to have to let the word discipline me. I'm going to have to continue in it. I can't give up on it and quit. Okay? I'm going to have to continue in it because I'm trying to get to all being all. God makes promises to us and gives us the ability to enter into all. But we don't because we only do the little. You know, Second Corinthians chapter 4 says that whatever we go through, it's just a light affliction. And this light affliction works for us a far more eternal weight of glory. See, but we've got to learn how to allow the word that is eternal to set eternal things in our heart, in our thinking. Okay? So we're going to look at, he's saying the same things here, condition of the heart. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verses 14 through 33. This is so that you can function in the abundance, beloved. That's all I'm trying to get you to do here. Mark chapter 4. And we know this parable. It says, Jesus already said it once. He's now coming back and saying it again. Because he teaches them when they were by themselves. He continued to get this same information over and over and over to them. In verse 13, he said, if you don't know this parable, then how will you know all parables? If you don't understand this, if you still have questions about this one, then all the rest of them are not going to work. He wants you to know that the sower sows the word. So the answer to my problem, the answer to my situation, the answer to my breakthrough is always going to be the word. Beloved, it's not going to be how much you do. It's how much word you allow to be in you. The sower didn't sow the doing. The sower sowed the word. The sower didn't sow the being. The sower sowed the word. The word brings forth fruit. The word multiplies, all right? the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. And these likewise were sown on stony ground, who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, but so endure for a time. Did you catch that phrase? Have no root in themselves. How do I get root in myself? I have to continue to put it in there in fullness. There is nothing else. We should not have a word and a frustration in our heart, beloved. A word and unforgiveness in our heart. A word and anger. We should not have both. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord, having no root in themselves. Having a commitment to the word that I'm going to be disciplined by this word. Okay? It says that I heard it. I want you to know that. They heard the word. They received it. They was happy because they said, this is the way out. But because they didn't commit to it, they endured but for a time. And afterwards, and you can note this so that you can just write these down. These are the five things that the devil's going to use to get the word out. Okay? They are listed right here. Here they are. Affliction or persecution. That's one and two. This is what causes you to endure but for a time, because you're looking at affliction or persecution. And notice that the affliction or the persecution only came, it arises for the word's sake. I want you to know, beloved, it's not about you. It's not personal. The only reason you're getting whatever you're getting as far as pushback is because of the word that's in you, that was given to you, that was received by you. The devil comes to steal the word. Here is processes that he's going to use. These are the five: persecution and affliction. And it only comes for the word. And then because you didn't understand it, you didn't decide to continue in the word, keep it there, guard the word, immediately you go back to what you did before. You were, I want you to kind of look at the word offended. It is off-ended. In other words, what you were working in, you turned it off, and it is no longer functioning. It has come to an end. It is off-ended. The word is the only reason that affliction and persecution came. And you got off-ended. Okay? These are those which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Here comes number three and number four. This is what the devil uses. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And number five, the lust of other things entering in. Persecution, affliction, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things entering in. Choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. Okay? I want you to just look at the process. Take your time. This is there's nothing new under the sun. Beloved, the devil does not have any other process by which he can get the word out. This is it. Jesus has exposed it. That's it. Everything that comes at you as a challenge, this is what he's doing. He's thinking that persecution or affliction will make you give up the word. If that doesn't, then he'll go back to what he's used before. The cares of this world, what you had before you knew about the word. Try to do it yourself. Try to make other people do what you want them to. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. If I only had more, okay, no, it don't work, beloved. If I only had more, I'll get you in more trouble. And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke it, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Wait a minute, I want you to see something here. I just saw today. It says that the ones that have good ground, good seed, good intent, with good understanding, this is what they do. This is verse 20. They have good ground, good seed, good intent, good understanding. They hear the word, one. They receive the word, two. They bring forth fruit. Wait a minute. Notice that they continued in the word, because first step was they heard it. Second step was they received it. They no longer argued with it. They received it. They know that this is their life. There is nothing else. I'm going to hold on to this. And when they get to that place, notice that the word brought forth fruit. And then it says something interesting here. He said, some 60, some 30, some 100. Notice he did not say 160, 130, 100. What does that mean? That I don't have to stop at 30. I can take some and be a 30 or a 60. I can take some and be 30, 60, or 100. I don't have to take one and leave the others undone. I'm going to grow. I'm going to come to abundance. 30 is not abundance. 30 is increase, but it's not abundance. 100-fold is abundance. And he's trying to get me to get to 100 in everything. Glory to God. See? He's wanting me to get there. He said, some brought forth. Okay? So it's like, again, the harvest and the amount of harvest, the fruitfulness that you need is up to you, beloved. All you got to decide is you're going, first of all, you're going to hear the word, receive the word, and then bring forth the fruit. Or let's do it this way, okay? Let's do it this way. With the bring forth fruit, it's going to be now you have an offering, okay? Now you have something that you can show God. This is what you have done in my life. This is the fruitfulness that you brought forth. You have brought forth. I have the ability, the capacity to forgive 30-fold. I have the capacity now. It's grown. I can forgive 60-fold. I have the capacity. It's grown. It's increased. I can forgive 100-fold. This is the fruitfulness that you have brought to my life from your word. I decided to hear it, receive it or keep it, and let it bring forth fruit. Let me give you this offering, Lord. You were watching to see if I was going to bring forth the fruit of what your word promises me I can. And now I'm doing it. And I am noticing that the 30 started, and I decided I'm going to keep on working with it and bring the 100-fold. Excuse me. Then keep on reading. Watch this, because I want you to get to this. Again, this is just foundational, beloved. I'm trying to get to the scripture, which is in Joshua chapter 1, to hear something. But I want you to see how only all is all. I have to have this in place, or I'm not going to get to the abundance. I'm not going to get to the all. Watch this. He said, Psalm 104, verse 21, and he said, a candle is her. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be on a candlestick? Beloved, he just told you your fruit is going to be on display. He just told you that. It's supposed to be on a candlestick. If you're going to function in this where you're going to forgive on purpose. You can't hide that under, come on, you can't forgive without being there. You can't hide it. You can't hide your love, he just said. He said it's supposed to be on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but it should become abroad. It should be manifest. He wants love to be seen. The fruit of the Spirit is manifest. The works of the flesh are manifest. Surely the fruit of the Spirit is manifest. Then he says in verse 23, if any man has ears, let him hear. And he said, take heed what you hear. Why? Because with what measure you measure a thing, that's the measure it shall be given to you. Whatever measure you use, the increase of harvest is on you, beloved. Take heed what you hear. If you're still going to hear conversations that say they're getting away with whatever it is they're doing to hurt you, he said, take heed to what you hear. Because whatever you give the right of passage in your life by what you hear, come on, beloved. If you give a rite of passage to unforgiveness in your life, it's because you heard you didn't have to forgive. There can be no motion without agreement. Take heed what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear, because whatever you hear is deemed important, and you deem it important, you will live off of that importance. It shall be measured to you again. That's how it's going to work. If you give ear to a lie, then you're going to have to live by the lie. If you give ear to the truth, you will be free by the truth. Whatever measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear, listen at what he says, more shall be given. If you will stay in the word, stay with the word, you will now get deeper revelations, more intimate revelations. You will understand intentions greater, because those that hear will be given more. Amen. He's going to give you an increased capacity to forgive more, to forgive deeper, to forgive quicker, to love without question, if you would hear that love is necessary. If you will hear that love never fails. Take heed what you hear, for in the measure that you hear it, the importance that you give to it, it shall be measured to you again. I'll say this. If you argue with the word, then the argument is going to win, and you will hear that that's not even important or necessary. First you will hear you can't do that because of what they did. Then you will hear that it's not even necessary. God did not really require that of you, because God knows what they did. Let's just look at it. If we want to get to the all of the promises that he says, then we're going to have to participate in the groundwork. This is the groundwork. And then watch this. For he that hath shall, to him shall more be given. To him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he did have. It was his. The ability and power to forgive was within him. And he heard that it wasn't necessary. He heard that he couldn't do it. And now it has been taken away. Because the enemy came to steal through persecution and afflictions that word that you heard, forgive. The word that you had heard that said love. Then it says, because you didn't hear, because you wouldn't agree. Now that has been taken, and you did have it. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise day, night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately harvest time is here. He put it in the sickle. Now he, okay, come on. I know he was talking to people that were agricultural in their training. They understood these. So then what he just said is that when you allow the process to work without you having to watch or monitor it to see if it's working, you do it because God said do it. Okay? Because he said the kingdom of God is this way. As verse 26, as if a man should cast the seed into the ground. And here the ground is your heart. And he should sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring up and grow. Notice it was not the man's effort that caused this to happen. It just said that he don't know how it did it. And watch this, I just love this one. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. I want you to notice an interesting thing that happens with earth and heart. If you would take the H that's in earth from the back and put it to the front of earth, it will then spell heart. Just interesting to let you know that God is talking about your heart, that they are the synonymous things. And it says that the power of the word in your heart will bring forth the fruit of itself. You ain't got to try to make it happen. If you put it in there and actually commit to its ability to do what it said, it will bring forth the fruit. But watch it. It's processional. First, a little bitty bit. Just something that seems insignificant. First, a blade. Then, the ear. And after that, the full corn in the ear. And when you see the full corn, immediately you can now harvest that. You can begin to use that against the enemy that's going to come from somebody else. Because I don't have to now go to my harvest of pain and suffering. I don't have to go to my seeds of discourse. I can now go to the fruit that the word produced in my life. And he says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, small, that when it is sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, underline this, beloved, underline this. Wow, this is good. But when it is sown, it groweth up. Glory to God. This does not fail, he said. If you sow it, it will grow up and it becomes greater than all the herbs. It's going to reach out, shoot out great branches so that the demons now are going to be so small that will be underneath what used to be little bitty in your thought process. I want you to just get that, okay? This is how it works. You sow it. If a man should cast the seed into the ground and sleep and rise day and night and don't know how it works, okay? So I just want you to know that you have to get to the place where when I do this abundance, it will grow up, it will become greater. And the demons, the fowls of the air, will not be as big as it is. The demons now will be under the shadow of that thing which God has produced in your life. The attack, come on now, let's look at it this way. The attack will no longer be great being in your eyes. The attack from the demons will be make them look small. They will come under the shadow of it. It will overshadow. Come on, read it. It will overshadow the attack. The problem is, brother, we've been looking at the attack and making it bigger than it should be. And as I measure it that way, then it's going to be measured to me that, yes, it is big. It is all that. And now, trouble. And then I'm just going to kind of slide this from Joshua chapter 1. Because this is where I saw that all is all. All means all. That's all it means. Watch this. In Joshua chapter 1. And I want you to know that these are also battle strategies that you should know. Okay? That you should find a promise. Okay, let's do this. I'm going to read the whole thing and just go on. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Underline these words. Now, therefore, arise. Okay? So God's going to give you a word, and the word has to now go into a place where you're going to affect that promise. Now, therefore, arise. All right? I don't want you to be in your troubles, in your situations. When you hear a word from God, the response from that word is now, therefore, arise. Okay? Go over this Jordan, and thou and all this people, and unto the land which I give them, even the children of Israel. Here's the more battle strategy. Every place that the sole of your feet tread upon, that have I given unto you. Why is that important? Because he just told you, now, therefore, arise, go over. Okay? Come on, just underline that, highlight that. Now, therefore, arise, go over. And every place that the soles of your feet tread upon, God has already given that unto you. Then he describes it. Then he says another promise. Watch this in verse 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is battle information so that you will know that God promised you. He's coming to you to give you a word. And he says now to appropriate that word, to make that word work, glory to God, to make that word secure, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to arise, think differently. You're going to have to now arise, therefore, and go over. Okay? Know that as you move, as you walk, that every place that you walk now is going to be different for you. It's going to be, you want to walk in promise. You want to walk by promise. You want to walk because of promise. Every place that the sole of your feet, you're standing in promise. You are not standing in problem. Glory to God. You are no longer standing in problem, beloved. Now, therefore, arise, go over. You are now standing in promise. Glory to God. And he said, I will be with you, and no man will be able to stand before you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Because what I promised, I'm going to let you inherit. Because I swear that I'm going to give it to you, to your fathers. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and be very courageous. When God says a thing twice, you need to pay attention. Again, these are battle strategies. He's giving you the victory. Please hear this, beloved. He's giving you the victory by his word. Only be thou strong and be very courageous. And this is what it was, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, all of the promise. Verse 8 is the one that I wanted to get to, because listen to what he says. These promises, this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Remember, the kingdom of God is like a man that cast seed into the ground, and he would go to bed, and he would get up, and he didn't know how it worked. You're going to meditate on the word day and night, not trying to see if it's going to work. I'm going to meditate because it has to work. He will not fail me. He will not forsake me. All I have to do is be strong and very courageous. Watch this. Meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Wait a minute. If I meditate, I then can enter into all. He says, if I meditate day and night, I will see, observe how to do according to all. Glory to God. Notice that he told me some things. He said, only be strong. God put the only in front of the all, didn't he? If I don't do only be strong and courageous, I'm not going to participate in the all, am I? If I don't meditate therein day and night, I will not participate in the all. I want you to get that, beloved. All is all. And only is in front of the all. If I only do this, all is now guaranteed, isn't it? Watch what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you will be able to see how to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you meditate day and night, when you do not let it depart out of your mouth, when you don't say something other than what the word says, when you don't think something other than what the word says, when you are disciplined, discipled by the word, then you will make, watch what he says, you will make your way prosperous. Glory to God. That's two times you heard the word make. He says, if you will continue in my word, and then you are my disciples in what you do. You will know the truth, and the truth shall, he did not say that, he said it will make you free. Here he said, if you observe to do what the word says, meditate day and night, you will make your way prosperous. And then you shall have one kind of success. You will only have good success. You will not have some success, beloved. You will only have good success. Oh, I'm just trying to get you to see this, that all means all. And only gets you to the place where all can now be entered into. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that you might be able to do according to all that is written therein. For when you do that, you will make your way prosperous. You will find, you shall have, come on, you shall possess. Come on, let's just read what he says. And then thou shalt have or possess. You will possess good success. You will no longer be looking for good success, beloved. You will possess it. It will come out of you now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You're going to make your way prosperous, and you're going to have or possess good success. You just blessed your whole future. Right here, just got blessed. Your career just got blessed. The dream just got done. Why? Because I meditate in the word day and night, not trying to make it happen, knowing that it has to happen, because the word will not return void. If I meditate day and night, I will observe how to do. I will remove all of the questions that have been in my heart. I will watch this. He said, the only thing that will be in front of me is seeing how to do it. I will observe to do. I don't even have a possibility of questions of it might not work. I can't see that. I only see how to do according to all. Oh, glory to God. I didn't see some, beloved. He said, I'm going to see how to do all. According to all. Jesus said things like, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Well, here, it's according to all. I need to stop thinking about lack and frustration. I need to think according to all. Because when I meditate therein day and night, I will be able to see according to all. I won't have limitations. I won't have frustrations. The only thing I will have is all. And all is all. All is all I need. All is guaranteed to bring me to the place of victory. Because he promised me all. He wants me to do according to all. See? The devil tells me I can't. But God says, yes, here's what it says in Philippians, the fourth chapter. I can do, come on, somebody help me. I can do what? All. See, God just introduced me to all. Hallelujah. I'm no longer trying. I have been introduced to all. And all gets things done. All is all. See? I will possess good success. I will make my way prosperous. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest. So he just told me right then that I have a guaranteed future. Because the Lord is with me wherever I go. Or the Lord just gave me a future. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to bring you, to give you a desired end. To give you a hope and a future. These are the thoughts that God thinks towards us. He wants all in our life. He no longer wants you to think about lack, frustration. He doesn't want you to be connected to poverty. He wants you to enter into all, because all answers all. All can remove all. Whatever the problem is, all will handle it. Only all is all. But the choice is yours. Which way will you choose? God's waiting on you to choose the all that he promises you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he says, look, behold, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because all is all. All answers all. God is not willing to do without a cheerful giver, but he's able to make all grace abound to you. See, all answers all. You have to make a decision, beloved, that you're going to enter into all, because you're going to do the only. You're going to be strong and of a good courage. You're going to be very courageous. You're going to not let this book of the law, the book of promises, depart out of your mouth. You will say what God says. You will hear what God is saying, because you've decided not to let it depart. Then you will make your way prosperous. You will possess good success. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and thank you for giving us encouragement by your word, by your spirit. Father, we choose to keep your word ever before us so that you can then prosper our way, so that you can give us the success that Jesus died and bought, paid for, so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Father, that we won't argue with you, but we will agree with you. And once we have agreement, motion now becomes easy. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's get ready to open up lines and get some commentary on tonight's teaching. Let's go with area code 714. 714, you're live.
Hallelujah.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Amen. Bless, brother. Amen. Bless.
I mean, just every aspect of it. I mean, you were right on point with everything that I've been going through and everything that I've been thinking. And like you said towards the end there, like, it really is up to me what I do.
Amen. Amen. I would like for you to, and everybody, y'all can do this, is to take the declarations that come out of Joshua chapter 1 and make them yours. You can reword it, but make them yours, because you can even go, yes, you can. Wow, that's true, sir. You can even put Jesus' name where Moses was, because Moses was a type of Jesus. Okay, good. So then, because we are on this side of the cross, as he was with Jesus, so shall he be with you. Okay? And see what power that brings to your life. He will not fail you or forsake you, because he's with you the same way. Jesus, these were the promises Jesus made. I will not fail you or forsake you. Isn't that what he said? The Lord is my help. Therefore, I can boldly say. So I want you to, everyone, just take your time and paraphrase what is in Joshua chapter 1. And then begin to confess that. Begin to let that work on the inside of your heart so that you can then have this good success. So I just want you to do that. It is time for us, beloved. It is time for us to occupy till he comes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Amen. All right. Let's get area code 845.
Good evening, brothers.
Good evening, good evening. Amen.
Well, brother, very, very much appreciate the way you dissect the Word of God. Always, brother. I believe it's something that I'm going to build up to. it's something that I definitely desire to do. It's to really just, like as I'm studying and, you know, as I'm meditating, just to kind of focus on a verse and, you know, and just one passage. And I guess really, Colossians 3:16 says, to let the word of God dwell richly
in your heart. Richly, yes.
And that's what I want. You know, I want it to be rich. I want it to be, you know, alive and, you know, living, and then apply it to go at my life and, you know, as directed against, you know, against every trial, every tribulation. You know, it can get tough, the flesh, and, you know, and what I've really been dealing with lately, I've just been, like, wondering, I'm like, Lord, you know, I believe in your word, and I read your word, and I hear it. So why is it that, it just feels like all the negativity that is coming against my mind, I put it over his word, you know, when I know what his word says, and I believe Jesus. And I'm just trying to fight that. I'm just like, man, I know that there's no condemnation, and I know that Jesus loves me, and he just, you know, and every thought of his towards me is peace, and that he just wants, you know, the very best for me. But I just feel like I listen to the enemy sometimes more, you know. I'm just like, why, Jesus?
Well, one of the reasons that we do that, one of the reasons we do that is because the fight, unfortunately for us, seems personal. And we didn't hear that God told us expressly, the battle is not yours.
Yeah.
So since the battle is not yours, why do you think that you have to now protect the word? Okay, I want you to understand in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, okay, Jeremiah 1:12 says this, God hastens his word to perform it, or a better understanding is he watches over His word to perform it. What does that mean? Since the word has been given to your heart, God now sets up warring angels to make sure that word is protected. You have to let it go. The devil can't steal it. You have to let it go. The Holy Ghost seals the word in your heart now. See, when you read some things in the Bible, you have to understand the dispensation. When the Holy Ghost was not alive, the word, when Jesus said that, the devil could steal. But now the Holy Ghost seals the word. Don't you remember that Jesus said that you are in the palm of his hand and no man is able to pluck you out? Okay, so that means, as it says in Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and where are they? They are safe. It didn't say the righteous run in, they are under attack.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so then we have to begin to see that. So wait a minute. No, I am safe. He said, these are promises. He made them. I didn't. Philippians, he said, he that be done a good work in you, what's going to happen? He is faithful to complete it. So then there is no way this thing is going to end any other way. But we have to begin to, that's part of the being strong, that these are the promises. And you go back, and again, you write down those promises from Joshua chapter 1. Write them down so that that becomes something that you over and over recite and say, so that your spirit says, okay, wait a minute. It can't do nothing but this. It cannot end any other way but me making my way prosperous and me possessing good success. Not sometimes it says hit and miss. He did not say hit and miss success. He said good success.
Yeah.
Okay? The way I understand good success would be a success that I have a good time in. A good fight is a fight I win. A good fight is a fight I win. If I lose, that ain't a good fight. A good fight is a fight I win. So if I'm going to have good success, that means I'm going to be able to enjoy it. I need to begin to renew my mind, wash my mind with the water of the word. As I do that, all of those thought processes of I'm going to fail will then leave. Because I will, notice he said only, that's why I said only all is all. He said only be thou strong. He didn't say be strong and something else. He said only be thou strong. So the only means I've got to make sure I do that. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
See? So then that's what I'm going to say, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to only be strong. Well, they didn't say, and I'm not telling you, don't fight, don't resist. I am telling you, learn to fight from the position of only.
Only.
Okay? Because what we do most of the time is we fight in the natural. Because we say, I'm swinging, I'm tired, therefore I must be winning. No. You don't get tired, that means no, because he said he will renew your strength. They that minister to the Lord, they will mount up. They will renew their strength. They won't be tired. I'm sorry. If you're getting tired, that means you didn't understand it completely. Just stay with it and say, God, how does this work? Because this is what you said. Show me that I want to enter into, not because of unbelief or frustration. I want to enter in because it's there. You opened it up for me.
That's
what I would like for y'all to do. I mean, really, this is what has to happen in our life. Because we have been too long arguing with the word, and then trying to say, well, since I've been talking about the word, it's going to work. No, you haven't believed yet.
That's right, because I don't want to grieve it, you know. I don't want to fight knowingly. I mean, you know, because we read it and we believe it, but then worry comes in or fear or doubt and in some shape or form, you know. And it's like, why, Lord? But I believe your word, you know.
Did you get the five things? Did you hear the five things that were stated that the devil can only use to get the word out? Did you hear those five things?
I heard it, but I don't.
Okay, go. You're going to go study it. Write them down.
Okay.
They're in Mark chapter 4. Okay?
Starting
in verse 14 to 19, I believe it is. But you're going to see it's only five. You cannot get the word out but by those five things. Okay?
Okay.
So then.
Okay.
persecution, affliction, gathers this world, the lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches. That's it, period. Okay? So I want you to write it down, go look at it, study it, and say, okay, wait a minute. This is persecution. Devil, tell you what, you might as well stop it because you're not going to get to work. See, you can stop the fight. This is how they told us to resist the devil. This is how. You say, oh, excuse me, that's persecution. No, sir, won't happen. Oh, that's affliction. No, sir, won't happen. If I resist him, he has to flee. There's no discussion about that.
Yeah.
It says, resist the devil, and he will flee. Okay. It did not say he will argue. I'm sorry, that's not what it said.
Yeah, he won't do that.
And so then I begin to apply the promises, and I do this over and over in every area of my life. That's why if it's five things, I have to protect myself in those five areas. Otherwise, he will just keep coming back to doing one of them that he did all the time. See, if you were a business person that was subjected to greed, then the deceitfulness of riches is going to be his primary way to get you.
That's true.
He's been hitting you there all your life. He's just going to come back with the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, good, we got to write him out. See, so you're going to have to learn to protect yourself by knowing what to resist in that. He said, no, you said you would supply all my needs. So then do I need deceitfulness of riches, lying, scheming to try to get, no. You said you would supply all. That's it. Over. See?
That's right. All.
All.
Yeah.
Only all is all.
Is all. That's right. Only all comes.
Only all is all. That's all. All means all, and that's all it means. So then you begin to process it from there, and you'll learn how to cause the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked.
Yes.
Now,
and
beloved,
and
you can fight in the flesh or you can fight by the word. Whichever you want to do. I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. Okay?
I don't want to fight.
But there is a way. Paul said, behold, I show you a more excellent way. Okay?
Yes,
he didn't say the other way didn't work.
Yeah.
It did say it didn't work, but it's a whole lot of work. But here you can do the more excellent way. Okay?
It's the walk by God's Spirit. And also here in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown.
Right.
And then it says, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So I'm assuming that as soon as the word is sown, Satan's right there, right?
First of all, right. You can stop that with the word is sown. So then it's too late. Oops, you blew it. The word is sown. Oops. You know, that's just like being a little pregnant. It's too late. We don't have the baby now. Because the word is sown. Now it's too late. All I got to do
is
just keep on doing what I need to do. 9 months, we don't have a baby. I'm pregnant. And I ain't got to be mad because I'm pregnant. It's okay. I'm pregnant and married. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
He married me, and now I'm pregnant. This word, you can't steal it. This is my baby. I'm going to protect this baby.
Amen to that, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Steve.
Amen. That's what
it is. Always helps, Steve. Always.
Amen.
Thank you.
I love you, man. Be blessed.
Me bless both of all you guys. Shalom, brothers.
Shalom.
Shalom. Amen. All right, folks. Well, that is the end of tonight's broadcast. Please don't forget to sow a seed here if you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you have heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. But before we actually close, Pastor Steve, was there anything else that you would like to add or close with?
No, I mean, like I say, really, if everyone would just take the time to go back and review Mark chapter 4 and come up with a declaration out of Joshua chapter 1, and I mean, that will impact your life and cause things to be really, really good. So that's it. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. If it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom.
Shalom.